Hello, and thank you for joining us on our Inspire Church podcast. It's our prayer that this message inspire you, that it builds your faith, and that it can help you see how God desires to move in your life. Enjoy the message.
Today, I want to speak to you about the king in you, the king in you, and the leper in you. You see, there's all things that we have dominion over and control over, and we just have it. And there's things that we have inadequacies in, and there's things we're even losing ground in, and there's things that we can't find cures for. So I want to speak to the king, and I want to speak to the leper. Can anyone relate to that? You know, in life, there's just some things you seem to have such control over, and such, you just do it so easy. And then you look at another part of your life and you think, is that me? And which part do I identify with? And how can so much function and dysfunction be one person? How can I be this and that? And the realities are is that we have victory in some areas of our life, and there's things that we are still yet to conquer. They won't conquer us. Some people allow those things to conquer them. But in Jesus' name, where we're weak, we'll be made strong. In Jesus' name, we will have the victory. In Jesus' name, come on. We have a great Savior that doesn't just leave us, but He's continually perfecting us and working on us. But there are things that we do have the victory over. Maybe today you've got the victory over finance, and you're the king of your finance, and you just know how to make money. You sleep and you make money. You have a holiday and you make money. You come across another idea. Maybe you're just so physically fit. You know, you can do 100 push-ups in a minute. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah, not on your knees, like man ones. Yeah? No? 100 push-ups. Amazing. Maybe you're like the kid on the video and you can run for like 30 seconds straight without stopping. That's just amazing. You know, maybe you just do relationships so well. Your marriage is just like, you can't understand why there's divorce or dysfunction in families, because it's just so easy for you. Is anyone like that here? No one wants to be hated right now. All right. You know, maybe you do parenting so well, but there's just some things that we're the king of and some things that we just can't seem to get right. And what do we do with both of these things? You see, kings rule and reign, and their job is to expand the kingdom. Look after what they have and expand, add to. That's a good king. A bad king gets greedy and makes everything, as long as they're okay, the people could be starving and everything could be falling apart, but as long as they got their supply, are you hearing me? They're okay. You've seen the movies. You've read the books. You know what I'm talking about. And I believe that some of us here, we might have that kingship going on, but how do we respond when God speaks? How do we respond when God speaks to us? See, it's very easy to respond to God when we're in a leprous state, when we're broken and we've got nothing to lose anyway. It's very easy when we're falling apart to respond, because it's like, what else do I have? But when we have domain and dominion, what are we to do? Are we to just build for ourselves and make ourselves comfortable? Or do we rely and go forwards? And so we see here in 2 Kings chapter 7, we see that the word goes out to the king. Elisha comes, hear the word of the Lord. Tomorrow, his city had been besieged. This is the background. Besieged, and even there was no food left in the city, that they'll... using people were actually eating the birds of the air's droppings and were resorting to cannibalism, all sorts of crazy things. His city was in ruins, and so Elijah comes, the word of God comes and says, tomorrow this will all be over. This is going to be set free. You know, everything is going to be back to normal. You're going to be in prosperity again. And it says that the king's hand, The king's hand is the person that he relies upon for advice, to his speaking, like the king would sit there and the hand would speak on his behalf and do his bidding. It says that the king's hand responded in a sarcastic manner. It says, he says this, look, if the Lord would make windows of heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it. You see, the word of the Lord came to the king, and the response of what the king leaned on was sarcasm. Was, what is God going to do a miracle or something? Imagine living your Christian experiencing, believing that or thinking that God couldn't do a miracle. When the word of God came to you, you say, oh, whatever, as if. That's for somebody else. I just think what a terrible state to be in. You've got a kingship mantle, you've got all this stuff going on, but when the word of God comes, it's a whatever. And I just want to encourage you today, be very careful about what you lean on. The king's hand was sarcasm. The thing that he went to was brokenness, was a what if, whatever. And why am I telling you to be careful what you lean on? Because what you lean on, you will fall on. As you know, physically leaning on this pulpit, if I let my hand go, I would land on it. I'd probably break it and I'd get in trouble. But whatever you lean on, you're going to fall on. One thing I've learned in life, you're always going to fall over. Yeah? Always. You're always going to fail somewhere. But if you're leaning into the things of God, if you're leaning into faith, well, you're going to fall into faith. Whatever we practice in our daily routine is what we're going to go to. I want to encourage this church, let's be people in the areas of our kingship. Let's lean on the cross. Let's lean on the words of Jesus Christ. Let's lean on faith. Let's lean on trusting God. Let that be our default mode. Our default mode is say yes to God. Our default mode is go to prayer. Our default mode is we get together with our other believing brothers and sisters and we pray it out, we speak it out, we claim it out. Come on. Can I get anybody to agree with me this morning? Thank you. Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. So we have a city that's besieged and a king that won't do anything. And then we have four lepers. They're not in the city, they're outside of the city. But they're in, you know, they're at the gate, they're at the wall of the city. So they're there in proximity. God's stirring the hearts of these people. And instead of saying, oh, but we're only lepers, they won't even let us in the city. We're not good enough. We don't come from the right place. We don't have the right stuff. We don't have the right equipment. We don't have the right backing. We're just this, we're just that, and start leaning on all their what they don't have. They just say, well, let's go. Let's go and do something. If we stay here, we perish. And you know, a lot of times in life, church, we get frozen. We almost get in we almost fall asleep in some of our excuses. And I've learned one thing is if we love God more than our excuses, if we love our goals from God more than we value our excuses, we will start to get somewhere in life. But sometimes we just need to be awoken, if that's a word. We need to wake up. Something needs to wake us up. And this moment happened. They just said, hey, if we stay here, we're going to perish anyway. And maybe in your life, you've got to a spot where you're just frozen and you've just given up. I'm here to tell you today, in Jesus' name, arise, awaken, rise up, get off, throw off the grave clothes, throw off all the excuses, throw off all the junk, the smell of failure, and say, I'm going to do something with my life. I'm going to make it happen. If it's not just for me, it's for the generations. If it's not just for my generations, it's for my community. But I will rise up in Jesus' name. It says these men, the ones that would have been the least looked to, There would have been soldiers, there would have been abled people, there would have been people of great lineage and heritage, but these four leprous men that weren't even allowed inside, that aren't even named. That's how important they were. They didn't even get names. It says they got up and said, let's go. Let's go into this army that's taken a siege and let's throw ourselves on the mercy of God. What's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? And I want to challenge us today, church. I want to testify to you as well that every time I've taken a step of faith, it's never been easy. Every time I've taken a step of faith, it's never actually ended up the way I thought it was going to end up. But it's always been good. It's usually been far greater than my expectation. We have these lepers that start walking to this enemy, the Syrian army that's held them captive, and they're just like, let's just go there and see what God does. And it says, when they got there, when they left, they arose at twilight. And I want to make a quick point about that. Sometimes God speaks to us and we say, tomorrow. You know, forgive that person tomorrow. Give that offering tomorrow. Some of you got stirred up during the giving talk today. And you saw the BSB number and all that come up. You're like, yeah, I'll put my tithes in tomorrow. I find that tomorrow doesn't really happen. I'm going to tell my significant other that I love them tomorrow. I'm going to make that phone call tomorrow. Hey, let's start doing the things that we should be doing today. Tomorrow's got enough problems of its own. Let's deal with today. Come on. How many people live with a tomorrow mentality? The Word of God encourages not to do that, but to live in the day that we're in. Okay, so they got up when the Word came. They got up at twilight. I want to make a significant point about the time. It was neither light nor dark. It was on the edge. And again, we're always waiting for that right time, the right, you know, daylight, we need this, we need the conditions to be right. There's never a right time. There's never a right time to step out in faith. Are you hearing me? It's not like you talk to young adults and they've been dating a while and you say, oh, you're going to get married. Oh, I just don't know if it's the right time. You know, how long have you been dating? Oh, 15 years. Just waiting for the right time. Oh, we're waiting for housing prices to come down. Yeah, okay, cool. Like, they're going to come down by, like, still going to be up. They're not going to be for free. Amen? we're waiting to finish doctorates or whatever. You know, there's never a right time. You just got to... That's what I find. When's the right time to start a church? When's the right time to start? Now. Step in the moment. Now. They got up and they started walking. And you see, what we always forget is when we make a step, we only think about ourselves. We don't think about what's going on in the spiritual. But you got to understand, there's a spiritual war going on even right now. And every time you take a step, what you bind, come on, it's happening in the spirit as well. You take a step. Let me read this to you. It says that at twilight, they rose up to go to the camp. And when they got to the outskirts of the camp, to their surprise, no one was there. The thing that's making you starve, once confronted, won't even be there. The thing that's causing you to not move, once confronted, will become a place of resource. The thing that's caused you great fear and anxiety, once faced, will be broken off your life. It says when they got to the camp, there was no one there. And they went into the first tent. I've got ahead of myself. But let me get it. We went into the first tent and it was full of gold and silver and food. And there was... they ate and they drank and they carried silver and they carried gold. The thing that was they thought was there to kill them and take them out was the greatest blessing. They just had to take a step. It tells us at twilight, which is the same time, twilight at the camp, twilight at the city, the exact same time is when they took the step. Four lepers took a step. When they got up and took that step, the winds of heaven got hold of that step and caused the noise so large in that camp. It says that the people in the camp thought, what did they think? They thought that great armies were coming. They said, look, the king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. At the same time, when four lepers, four inadequate men, four people that were failing in all areas, were cast out of their own society, when four men took one step, God caused their enemies to hear that to be the step of tenacious armies. Do you realize why you stand out like a sore thumb? When you're at work and you're just trying to get on with your day, but everyone just notices you, and everything you do just seems to have a bigger splash, it's because you have the anointing of God on your life, and every time you move, there's just a bit more noise about you. Do you ever notice that? That's why you can't get away with anything. You take a step, it's too noisy. But when you take a step in the right direction, God, the armies of heaven are behind it. So let me talk to the leper in you today and say, don't say, look at my inadequacies and look at the things that are broken and why I'm not good enough and why I can't succeed in this area. Just take a step. You may find the area of your greatest weakness in your life may end up being the area of greatest blessing and the place. Are you hearing me? Why? Because of Jesus. Why? Because of Jesus. I've got a story to quickly share with you, and I know you like hearing stories, yeah, especially when like pastors tell them, because we make them even better than what they really were at the time. You know, we're really good at it. So it's about me, and so it's going to be even lifted up. It's about my childhood, so it's going to be even grander again. But, you know, I got selected to play for the Sevens football team for school. Sevens is, you know, you play full field rugby league, but it's full field, there's only seven players. So, like, you have to run a lot. Let me just tell you that. That's what they didn't tell me at the beginning. And I was, because, you know, you like to be chosen. You know, I made the team. Yeah, great. There was no trials for the team, so it wasn't the greatest victory, but I've made the team. Represented the school, William Carey School, actually. Anyone here from William Carey? No? Okay. Very proud moment of my life, and made the sevens team, and they didn't tell me you had to run a lot to full field, and then they didn't tell me as well that all the competitions, statewide competition, you play it all in one day. So you're running a lot, like the kid on the video, and that you're playing against the greatest warriors in the state, and you got put in the little extra team that the PE teacher thought would be a good idea. And so you run on the field for the first game, and we got absolutely flogged. It's only 14-minute halves, because it's sevens. I think they still scored 50 points. It was like, what? But it was the first time our team played together, and we really didn't know didn't even really know the rules. And anyway, during the day, we had a couple of wins and a couple of losses, and we started to get better as a team. By some mathematical mystery, some maybe miscalculation, I'd probably say, we made the finals, like the semifinals. I don't know how. I think they genuinely made a mistake. Maybe some teams got bored because they didn't realize they had to play all day as well, and they left. But somehow we made the finals. We couldn't believe it. And the team that we played in the first finals was the team that beat us 50-0. We'd been running around all day, felt like we did, you know, won some, lost some, felt pretty hopeless actually. And we saw on the draw, oh, we're playing that team that beat us 50-0. And we're like, maybe we should just go home. That team saw us play another school, a school that we beat. They saw that during the day. And it was a good beating. It was good. It was really good. It's good to win. Anyway, they saw that. Then they looked up on the chart and they saw they were playing us. Even though they beat us 50-0, they got scared. I think what happened is there was a special anointing on the team where God caused their eyes to see us 12-year-old boys as grown Samoan men. That's what I think actually happened, because fear was like, they were so scared. They're like, oh no, we're playing them. And then we looked at each other like, they're scared of us. Oh, and it made us get all confident. We go, oh, yeah, they're scared of us. And we went on that field like giants, and we won. We beat them. Why? We didn't actually beat them. They lost. That's the facts. That's the truth. They lost. We got handed the win because they died in their heart beforehand. And I just believe so many of us are like that in life. We give ground to the enemy because we think he's this big, scary giant that's going to mess with us and this and that. Let me tell you, the devil is defeated. Come on. Jesus is on your side. Come on. When the enemy looks at you, he doesn't just see you. He sees all of heaven. He sees like God and the lion and the lamb and the cross and all the saints and everything. And we're like, oh, I feel so alone in my walk of faith. The enemy's like, man, can you see what's backing you? And you say, oh, Luke, but I've tried stepping out and it's hard. Yes, it's hard. But do the hard. Come on, do it. You will make it through. You will keep going. There's people in this room that can testify to that fact. We didn't just win that game, I have to tell you, and this is totally true. We won the final game because of the confidence that was... We were the same team from the same day. And every team we played in the finals, we lost to during that day, but something rose up in us. Fire. Come on, church. You can win. Don't you say, oh, I lost before. I faced that. It didn't work out. I hate that talk. I refuse to let it live. Well, we tried that once. Try again. Well, whoever did something once and succeeded, please stand up. You know, we'll give you the gold medal now. We've all failed. We've all struggled. You know, when we learnt to read, you're trying to read the word the, and you're like, the. You know, and then they have to give you a book that every second word's the in kindergarten, and you're still getting it wrong, and then you finally get it right, and you start learning. You know, it's a progression. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And just because you got a weakness, and just because you got knocked around, and just because you had a failure, doesn't mean you're not going to win in the future. You know, the past has no bearing on your future when it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to faith. So I want to speak to the king in you. I want to speak to the leper in you. And I want to tell you, listen to God. Rise up. The lepers went back to the city. I just have to tell you this bit. It's so good. Because God wants to break some stuff off your life. God wants to break some stuff off the lives of our city, off the lives of the people around you. They went back to the king and said, the enemy's not there. And the enemy, again, the king got scared and he said, it's a trap. But he did go forwards. He sent out a messenger to go and see. He sent out men on chariots and they came back and reported, yes, it's true, the city is empty. And it just so happened to be when that message got through, the hand of the king, you know the one we're talking about that was sarcastic? He just happened to be standing at the city gates at the same time. And when thousands and thousands of people that have been under siege, that have absolutely no food, get word, there's food out there, there's life out there, there's prosperity at that camp. In that camp, there's life. In that camp, there's transportation. In that camp is fine wine. In that camp is, you know, pork chops and everything. That's in that camp. Guess what those people do? They run. And the people ran. And the hand that said God couldn't do miracles was standing right at the city gates. And let me tell you, the people didn't have a conversation with that guy. They just kept running. And they ran all the way to the place of prosperity. They ran to that place of life. They trampled straight over that hand. The word of God came true. He said, you shall see and hear, but you will not eat of. He got trampled at the gate. He lost his life. And I just believe that there's things in this city, there's people in this city that don't realize there's life in the house of God because of brokenness, because of sarcasm, because of something that didn't go right. But when they hear that there's life, there's substance, there's food in the house of God, the barriers will be broken down. The people will come charge in. Amen? Come on. That's the same for your family. It's the same for your life. Whatever that voice is that you've relied upon, it can be broken. Always pick up faith in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for joining us. If you have any questions or simply for more information regarding Inspire Church, visit us at inspirechurch.com. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. It's our prayer that you live inspired by the Word of God and more alive in Him than ever before. Until next time.